Greetings and welcome to Catholic Ordinary Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homily, theological reflections, and occasional talks by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP Pastor Director of the Catholic community. It is the 22nd Sunday of Ordinary Time. The readings are from Sarkopi.
This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. There's a commandment that has the word honor in it. Do you remember the one? I think I heard it over there. Honor your father and your mother. This people honors me with their lips. I knew how to do that because I honored my father and my mother with my lips. Right before I went off to college and in the years that preceded it. Some of you know this story. I've told it before. In fact, it's the prologue of my book. I tell a story of how I got so angry with my father that I quietly stopped talking to him. Secretly stopped talking to him in the eighth grade. And maintained an honorable, if there is such a thing, silence. I was inside the letter of the law. I didn't say anything bad about him. I just wouldn't say anything at all except pleasantries, surface stuff, because I was so hurt by something that he did. But then, as I was about to go away to college, there was a retreat at the local campus ministry, at the Catholic campus ministry at the college near my home, and they invited me onto it as a high school senior. And I thought that they would talk about religious things because it was a religious retreat. So what do you talk about on a religious retreat? I thought maybe sacraments, commandments, prayers. And I got there expecting to talk about these safe religious topics when they sprung a question on us. The theme of the weekend would be, what do you think about your parents? Well, now, I'm a strong introvert, so I can kind of wait this out, let everybody else talk. Maybe the time will be up when it's my turn. But I saw people speak with respect and listen to people's open hearts. I just had never witnessed such a thing before. Ordinary people opening their hearts up to relative strangers, but in an environment that had been made safe and sacred. In this religious context. So that when it came my turn, I did speak my truth. It takes me 20 minutes to read my own prologue, and I don't have that much time right now. If you want to read the whole story, buy the book. I'll give you a discount. But in the end, I had opened my heart up. I told my truth. I pretty much confessed my sin publicly and said, I don't know how I got into the habit of behaving toward my father this way, but I did, and I don't know my way home. I don't know how to get back. There was never a getting back because we had never really spoken. I went to communion because it was a Catholic thing, and that's what we do. We go to Mass, and we go to communion, and I'd done that for every day since, in elementary school. I went to Catholic school, and that was the way the day started. I've been to communion hundreds, thousands of times. I go to communion on this retreat, and when I put the host in my mouth, my whole body, like, implodes. Every cell in my body starts to vibrate and heat and pulse with love and energy, and I knew that God was completely focused on me and loving me, and that all the stuff that religion is about, everything that I had ever heard was coming true inside of me in that instant. And that God loved me and knew my heart and wanted to just enfold me. And I started to cry. I don't cry. I'm not a man who cries. My mother died in May, and I cried for about a nanosecond during the opening part of the Mass where I was doing the burial. I'm not a crier because I learned big boys don't cry, and I learned it really, really well. Maybe one of these days I'm trying to get younger every day. maybe one of these days I'll get back to where I can cry. But that day I was just a mess. I was crying all over the place in this mass and thinking I must be a real big spectacle. My hands heated up and pulsed and throbbed. And I went home and I sat on the edge of my bed and thought, I've got to talk to my dad. I don't want to leave his home and go off and spend his money at college like this. I need to talk to him. And I woke him up and I told him all that. Again, the long form is in the book. And he knew that it had happened on this religious retreat. We talked about several important points. And then we got all the way to the end and he said, is there anything else, son? I said, no, Dad, I think that's enough for right now. You know what he finished it with? Son, let me just say this one thing. What would you say in that setting? Here's what Max said. Son, just don't get too religious. Son, just don't get too religious. This was the man that paid for Catholic school from kindergarten to grade 12. This was the same guy that when we went on vacation, we didn't do a thing, and when we pulled into a town until we found the yellow pages and figured out what time Mass was. He had two siblings. They were both nuns. This is the man that's telling me, son, don't get too religious. Now, I want a real answer out of you, any of you who are bold enough to speak up in a big building like this. What do you think he could have meant?
I love you.
He meant, I love you. Why do you think he told me not to be too religious? He didn't want me to have a lonely life. Do you think being too religious could make you lonely? It could. Why would he tell me that? Don't get too religious. What could being too religious, what could it mean, and where could be the downside of it? Some balance, that being too religious could have cause some kind of imbalance? A guilt? That you think sometimes people that are too religious, are they too guilty about themselves, or they're too eager to place guilt on other people? Both? Don't get too hung up on details. That's certainly what's going on in the gospel story today. We're fussing over the proper way to wash hands cultically, religiously, before you eat. Well, what's that? No, they were all good about the idea of me being a priest, but that came later. That was still years in the future. I think he didn't want me to be really, really peculiar. And maybe related to the thing you said about lonely, sometimes being too religious can make a person kind of, instead of, especially a Christian, the whole impulse of it is supposed to be go out to all the world and tell the good news, but it sometimes can end up folding in on itself and deciding that there's safety in numbers. The world is such a foreign place The second reading even ended with, be careful that the world doesn't despoil you, or something like that. Do you remember the word that it ended with? Be unstained by the world. And sometimes religious people feel like the world will sometimes stain them, taint them in some way. In fact, Vatican II dealt with that whole theme and said, no, we have to stop thinking that way, because our mission is to go out to all the world. It's not a dirty world. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord, the Psalms say. And we have a good news to tell in the world. Son, don't get too religious. Many of you have heard me. You know that I love to play with words, and religion is one of my key words, and religion is related to the word ligament. The idea is that one little muscle won't be able to do very much by itself. But if you bundle them together with the ligament, like the cables that hold up the Golden Gate, all that big cable is a bunch of little parallel small wires. They just get bundled together. That's what a ligament does, and that's what a religion does. It's Labor Day weekend. That's at the labor movement. No one person could argue and make happen justice in the workplace, but together people might be able to bundle and work together to see that dignity is maintained and that workplace safety is there and so on. That's kind of the common idea about both religion and union, united. We're in the middle of the primary season right now where we're watching this spectacle of parties trying to affect some change in the way that we think and the way that we might choose. Well, so was Jesus. The odd thing about in the scriptures is that when people come up to him with all this religious regalia and they're there from headquarters, they're here from Jerusalem, and oh, by the way, we see infractions everywhere we look. We're the religion police, and we're here to enforce God's law. Who is Jesus, at least to us, in our understanding? God in the flesh. God standing right there in front of you. And you're going to come up to God in the flesh and say, gotcha. Your followers aren't doing it right. And Jesus just stands in the middle of that and says, oh, you know what? You know the scriptures, don't you? Did you ever read that part that Isaiah said? You hypocrites, you talk great words, you give me lip service, but your hearts are closed to me. I started by saying, I'm something of an expert in a closed heart. I lived with my heart closed for years. I know how to do it. I bet you do too. I also know how to live with a closed mind. How would we know if we have become too religious? You know, I looked up the word doctrine is mentioned in the second reading today. I looked up doctrine on one of my favorite sites, Online Etymology Dictionary. I love to know what words mean. And the word doctrine sent me over to dogma. And dogma means philosophical tenet, T-E-N-E-T, like a tenet of the faith. So I looked up tenet. You know what it brought me to? Tetanus. Because a tenet is something that one holds to. You know, like you hold to an opinion, you hold to an idea. That notion of holding to a belief or an idea it's drawn from musculature, the way that we hold on to a thing and grasp it and cling to it. That the tenets of the faith are involving musculature. And what's tetanus? It's having your muscles diseased so that they're completely rigid and unmoving. You know? So my question to you that I don't think is coming from me, I think it's from the Spirit of God. I hope it is, because that's all I'm authorized to say in church. Is there anything like that in you? Is there a place where your ideas and your thinking and your acting have somehow maybe started at a holy place, or you might even think you have the argument for the right and the good and the true and the holy on your side, but somehow you got tetanus. You stepped on a nail. Somewhere along the line, you got infected. Somewhere along the line, the good, the pure, the true, the holy got messed up. Do you think you can work your way out of that? You might, but it would take a rigorous self-examine. You'd have to go to the Holy Spirit and say, show me the place where I'm getting it wrong. And that can happen young. I've seen plenty of young closed minds. I've worked with young people for a long time. Although it can get even worse as you get older. You can have more and more years behind you thinking that your opinion is good and true and holy. And you might have stopped listening to new information a long time ago. You can ask the Holy Spirit, but another handy thing to do is ask your mother. Ask your spouse. Ask your closest friend. Or ask an enemy. Ask a coworker. If you could change anything about me, what would it be? Is there anything about the way that I act and operate and think that you think could use a little correction? How could you help me be a really better version of myself. That's what Jesus was really, I think the people that were really listening to him at the beginning, I don't think they were just there because they were hearing their own values reaffirmed. We all like to hear that our ideas are brilliant. But I think there were a lot of people that were attracted to Jesus who knew that they weren't brilliant. They were fishermen. They weren't brilliant. They just had somebody that got their attention and lifted them up out of their circumstance and made them feel wonderful and important and valued. That second reading, again, it goes back to what's really pure and true religion? Did you hear it? Somebody did. You practice the reading. To care for widows and orphans. Because in Jesus' time and place, there was no kind of safety net, regardless of which party you vote for and what you think about safety nets. There was none. If the provider in your family died, and you're a widow or an orphan, man, are you up a creek? You're in a really bad way. Somebody had better take care of you because there's no way you're going to be able to do it on your own. And if you go out to widows and orphans, you know what? Or if in our own time and place we do, we go to the people that need our help the most. The last of our concerns is whether they wash their food or not. They might wish they had food to wash. And oh, by the way, they smell. It might just might be the food that needs washing. When Jesus gets an opportunity to speak to our heart about true religion, he hits it right on the head, I think. He says, put aside all this nonsense about following the letter of the law. Open your heart to me. I can do a lot with an open heart. A closed mind, not very much.
Thank you for listening to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. Produced by Father Isaiah Mary Milano, LP, with our pianist Albert Tomaso and percussionist Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices at the third floor of Old Union. For Father Isaiah and Milano, LP, this is Unsu Che. God bless you.